Chapter 4. Franklin Roosevelt's Fascist New Deal. The nation was caught up in a war fever, fomented by the government, even though there was no war. Striking union members were provoked into a riot by government forces. 67 workers were killed, some shot in the back. A young correspondent reported, "I understood deep in my bones and blood what fascism was." A leading intellectual, who'd signed on with the government, declared in a lecture to students, "The ordeal of war brings out the magnificent resources of youth." The British ambassador cabled London to alert his superiors to the spreading hysteria fomented by the nation's new leader. "The starved loyalties and repressed hero worship of the country have found in him an outlet and a symbol." Visiting the rural hinterlands, an aide reported back on the brewing cult of personality. "Every house I visited, mill worker or unemployed, had a picture of the president. He is at once God and their intimate friend. He knows them all by name, knows their little town and mill, their little lives and problems, and though everything else fails, he is there and will not let them down." Though the crisis was economic in nature, the new national commander had promised to seek the power to wage a war against the emergency, as great as the power that would be given to me if we were in fact invaded by a foreign foe. "I assume unhesitatingly the leadership of this great army of our people dedicated to a disciplined attack upon our common problems." Presumably, some readers already know that the country I'm talking about is America, and the leader, FDR. The labor riots took place in Chicago. The wide-eyed young reporter was Eric Severide, one of the titans of CBS News. The intellectual who harangued Dartmouth students about the virtues of war was Rexford Tugwell, one of the most prominent of the New Deal's brain trusters. And of course, the last quotations were from Franklin Delano Roosevelt himself in his first inaugural address. As liberalism in recent years has fallen into ideological and intellectual disarray, American liberals have crouched into a fetal position around Franklin D. Roosevelt's legacy. Liberal legal theorists have made the New Deal into a second American founding. Leading journalists have descended into abject idolatry. Indeed, it sometimes seems that all one needs to know about the merits of a policy is whether Roosevelt himself would have favored it. It is a given that Republicans are wrong, even fascistic, whenever they want to dismantle FDR's policies. One of the most poignant ironies here is that a modern-day Hitler or Mussolini would never dismantle the New Deal. To the contrary, he'd redouble the effort. This is not to say that the New Deal was evil or Hitlerian, but the New Deal was a product of the impulses and ideas of its era.